from Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Joe Palca reporting. U.S. accuses Iran of supplying missiles to Yemen. The U.S. accused Iran Tuesday of supplying Houthi rebels in Yemen with a missile fired into Saudi Arabia in July and called on the U.N. to hold Tehran accountable. U.S. U.N. Ambassador Nikki Haley said such activity violates two Security Council resolutions. Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman has accused Iran of direct military aggression after a missile was fired from Yemen toward Riyadh on Saturday. U.S. spokesperson Heather Nauert said it is too early to determine who was responsible.
That is a situation that we're continuing to assess right now. We don't have a full determination on who is responsible for that.
The White House warns such attacks threaten regional security. Iran has dismissed the allegation as contrary to reality. University of Denver International Affairs Professor Jonathan Edelman said a tough policy toward Iran is part of the Crown Prince's overall strategy.
With Mohammed bin Salman trying to revise the entire nature of Saudi Arabia, what would be the best possible way to unite the country under him? To have an enemy like Iran.
Fadela Chaib is with the World Health Organization. She said the humanitarian situation is very bad.
It's also battling a very serious cholera outbreak since months. We are trying to stop it.
Cholera cases are said to be up words of 900,000 since April. Liberian President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf on Tuesday warned that democracy in the West African country is under threat after the Supreme Court put an indefinite hold on a presidential runoff election over fraud allegations. Former footballer George Weah and Vice President Joseph Boakai were to face off Tuesday in a ballot to replace the term-limited Johnson Sirleaf. This is VOA News. Donald Trump arrived in Beijing Wednesday, his first visit as U.S. president to a nation that has been a focus, often a negative one, in his drive to secure jobs at home. Trade is to top the agenda, but so is North Korea. White House officials say the president intends to press China, North Korea's closest ally and top trading partner, to push the North to abandon its nuclear program. Before leaving for China, the president spoke Wednesday to South Korean lawmakers and compared the success of the South with the prison state of North Korea.
The more successful South Korea becomes, the more decisively you discredit the dark fantasy at the heart of the Kim regime.
Mr. Trump, recalling the sacrifices made in the Korean War, told the National Assembly the North, with its nuclear and missile programs, Pyongyang must not try the patience of the U.S.
We will not permit America or our allies to be blackmailed or attacked.
The president earlier had to abandon a surprise visit to the demilitarized zone, separating the Koreas due to bad weather. Mr. Trump's five-nation, 12-day Asia trip has been dominated by the twin issues of North Korea and trade. In Washington, a Senate committee on Tuesday unanimously backed new sanctions targeting Chinese banks that do business with North Korea. The measure is named in honor of Warmbier, the American college student who was medically evacuated in a coma from a North Korean prison earlier this year and died days later in the U.S. Russia Tuesday rejected a report by the International Inquiry blaming the Syrian government for a deadly toxic gas attack. It puts the mandate of the joint investigation team in doubt. Its report blames Syria for the April 4th air attack using sarin gas on a rebel-held village that killed more than 80 people. Russia said without changes, the report would become a tool to settle accounts with Syrian authorities. Jonathan Allen is the British deputy ambassador.
In 2013, Russia promised the world that Syria would abandon all of its chemical weapons. Today, to the cost of the people of Syria and to the cost of the international consensus against chemical weapons, that promise remains unfulfilled.
The team's mandate is set to expire November the 14th. Zimbabwe's state-controlled media on Tuesday said sacked Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa was plotting to seize power before he was dismissed on Monday. Mnangagwa was seen as a likely successor to the 93-year-old President Robert Mugabe. His removal appears to clear the way for Mr. Mugabe's wife, Grace, to take over. This is Joe Palca reporting from Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.